Behold the King, the promised son of David. Behold the babe born in Bethlehem and raised in Nazareth. Behold the teacher and miracle worker of Galilee, the one sent to seek and to save those who are lost. Be still and behold him. Fix your gaze upon him. Block out all distraction. See his majestic glory and power. Rest in his grace and mercy. Focus on who he is and what he has done. For he is the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was and is to come. He is the eternal King who rules and reigns forever. His name is to be glorified in all the earth. Behold the King. The King is worthy. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our obedience. He is worthy of our surrender. The King is worthy of our unwavering allegiance. His ways are beyond comprehension. He's a different kind of king. Instead of seeking power, he humbled himself. The King did not come to be served, but to serve. He abandoned the throne room of heaven and became like one of us. He dined with sinners, and he healed the lame. He brought light into the darkness. Behold the King. Be still, and behold the one who would die on our behalf. For he chose a criminal's end. He shed his blood to settle our debt. The one who was worthy of the crown willingly went to the cross, and the veil was torn. And the punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. He was buried in death and sealed in a tomb, but the grave could not hold him. And light overcame the darkness. And on the third day, the King rose from the dead, and once and for all, sin and death were swallowed up in victory. Behold Jesus, the risen King.
Stone is rolled away. All power. This out with us. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the bolts of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life. Fellowship family, good morning. Happy Resurrection Day. Jesus is alive, amen? He's not only alive, but he's alive and well in us. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit. Jesus is alive. Let's celebrate that this morning by singing. And beat the grave, amen?
Amen.
Hey, praise God for technology, but when it goes south, and it just goes south, Lord's still on the throne, amen? All right. He bore the cross, he beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. One more time. He bore the cross, he beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our King Jesus. And what a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful
Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
All righty. Maybe it's fixed, maybe it's not. Oh, yeah.
We're good.
I think we're back, y'all. Everybody say, we're back. All righty. You go ahead and have a seat. I'm going to read a scripture, and then we're going to keep singing together. Scripture says this. It's out of Romans. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh.
Trade old for the new. I trade lies for the truth. I throw off these old chains and hold fast unto you. I cling to the cross where my Savior bled, where grace found a way to bring death to an end. A beautiful ransom when love paid my. So I'll sing your praise all of my days, your blood flowing down like oceans of grace. My sin swept away, I'm brought back to life here in the finished work of Christ. You came out of the grave, yes, he did. You came bursting to life, and you shattered.
sing this if you know it.
I know how the story ends. Yes, we will be with you again.
He is our Savior, our one defense.
You're my Savior, my Savior, Jesus.
You guys can grab a seat if you have one. Apparently, the resurrection of Jesus is a pretty big deal. We've run out of seats, we've tripped a breaker, and we've broken the internet, and it's not even 10 o'clock yet. Hey, today we come to celebrate one of the most powerful stories ever told. It's a story of light overcoming darkness. It's a story of life overcoming death. And it is a story that reminds us that we have hope. Today we tell the story of the risen Savior. Jesus, the Son of God, he was crucified and buried, and his body was placed in a tomb. But on the third day, he rose from the dead and he conquered sin and death. And then he appeared to his followers and he commanded them to proclaim this news to others. And so that's what we intend to do today, to proclaim the greatest story ever told. And here's the good news, that his story can become your story. You see, we've got to be careful on a day like today that we don't lose the message in the midst of the hype. You see, Easter is not just a special day, it's a sacred day. So don't get lost in the trappings of the Easter day. Don't be distracted by the new clothes, although you all look great. Don't be distracted by the lunch gatherings and the egg hunts and the family photos and the baskets full of chocolate candies and plastic eggs and peeps. Don't be distracted by the peeps. You see, Easter is much more than bunnies and baskets. At the heart of the celebration, we actually come to affirm our belief in the story that claims one of the most essential of church doctrines. We come to confess our belief in the resurrection of Jesus. This is an important day for followers of Jesus all across our city, and all across our nation, and all across the world. Theologian D.A. Carson said this about the resurrection. The entire Bible pivots on one weekend in Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago. attempts to make sense of the Bible that do not give prolonged thought to integrating the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus are doomed to failure and are at best exercises in irrelevance. One of my favorite theologians, Pastor Tim Keller, said it this way: if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue that everything hangs on is not whether you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. So today we come to profess. Today we come to affirm. Today we come to assert the doctrine of the resurrection. We are not here to play church. We're not here to set attendance records. We're not here to get that perfect social media picture or to please whoever is hosting lunch right after this. We're here to profess belief. Do you believe in him? Do you cling to the hope of the resurrection? You see, here's the funny thing about sound doctrine. Right belief leads to eternal hope. You see, the resurrection is not just a doctrine to believe in. It's a promise of hope to cling to. At the end of his life, when he was dying from cancer, Dr. Keller said this: if the resurrection is true, then everything's going to be okay. The resurrection of Jesus means that the worst thing is not the last thing. It promises us a world and a life that we've always longed for but never had. So today I want to give you an opportunity to just be still and behold the Jesus, the risen King. That word behold, it means to look upon, it means to see, it means to gaze at intently. And that word's going to be featured in our Bible passage today. It's going to alert us to key points in the narrative. So listen for it as I read the resurrection story from Matthew chapter 28. I'll read from the English Standard Version. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Well, did you catch it? Three times in our 10 verses, the word behold was used. Now that word translated into the English from the original Greek manuscript as behold, it was often used by the author to emphasize an idea, to call attention to a particular detail in the story. It's as though the writer is saying, "I want you to see this," or "don't miss this detail." So let's work back through the story and let's let the beholds alert us to three important particulars in the narrative. Let's look at verses 1-4. Behold the power of God. It was after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day, when the two Marys went to the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And an angel of the Lord descended and came and rolled back the stone. And his appearance was like lightning, his clothes as white as snow. And he filled the guards with fear. Don't miss the power of God being revealed in the story. On that morning, in that garden, the earth trembled. the ground shook as an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, displaying blinding light, and miraculously rolled away the heavy stone. Fear and trembling filled those who were normally filled with courage and strength. It was a moment where God's mighty power was on full display. He was revealing his majesty. That garden tomb was touched by the Almighty. And this is one of those moments where heaven and earth collided. And just like the saints of old, those who were present in this moment saw a tangible expression of God's divine power. Like Moses at the burning bush, or Joshua when the walls of Jericho fell, or like Elijah when fire came down from heaven on Mount Carmel. Behold the power of God. But this wasn't just a display of God's power. The angel came to deliver incredible news. Look at verse 5. Behold the promise of God. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." Hear these words. "He is not here. He has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Go tell his disciples the good news. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him." The angel delivered the message. Those words that forever echo throughout eternity. "He is not here. He has risen as he said." What a turn of events. These ladies came to the tomb to mourn. They came to prepare a lifeless body for final burial and to say goodbye to their dear friend and master and teacher. But the angel actually delivered unbelievable news that Jesus was not dead. He was alive. He had arisen. The chains of sin and death had been broken. The grave could not hold him. And then the witnesses were offered evidence. The angel said, "Come see the place where he lay." This was something that they needed to see with their own eyes to address any question or doubt. And the angel instructed them that this wasn't just something to see, it was also something to tell. For what they saw and heard was intended to be shared with others. Hear me, church. What we have experienced, what has changed our lives, is intended to be shared with others. Our hope of heaven, our promise of forgiveness, is not something that we keep to ourselves. And then in the last part of the verse, we have our marker. Behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. The angel offered the ladies a promise that they would be in the company of Jesus again. You see, Jesus was not only the resurrected Savior, but he is the living God. And the risen Lord would make a future appearance. He was waiting to be reunited with them. How exciting this must have been for the ladies, because soon they would walk and talk with their beloved friend and teacher. And as the ladies left to share the good news, they encountered the Lord himself. Look at verse 8. Behold, the presence of God. The scriptures say that they departed quickly from the tomb, filled with fear and great joy. And they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, resurrected Jesus met them. And they came and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then he said, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my disciples." Having experienced the power of God and received the promise of God, the ladies found themselves in the very presence of God. They saw him with their own eyes in real time. They heard his voice. They held his feet. They bowed before him in worship. It was proof that the resurrection was real. If there was any uncertainty in these ladies' minds, if there was any skepticism about what had really happened to Jesus, all doubt was removed when he stood before them in resurrected form. They had seen the empty tomb. They had heard the word of the Lord from the angels, but now they were firsthand eyewitnesses that he was alive, and these ladies would never be the same. And that's still true today. When we behold the risen Savior, we are forever changed. When we see him for who he really is, when we understand his sacrifice given on our behalf on the cross, when we gaze intently at his promises of eternal life, when we see his victory over sin and death that can be ours, then everything changes. When we behold him and truly believe in him, place our faith in him, put our trust in him, then our lives, our world is turned upside down. We now have promises to receive. We have truth to live. We have news to share. We have hope to hold on to. And boy, our world could use some hope, couldn't it? Don't forget, the resurrection of Jesus means that the worst thing is never the last thing. And I hope that's your story this morning, that you have genuine and authentic faith in the risen Christ. Which brings me to a question. Do you know the Lord? Have you come to a point in your life where you've seen him for who he truly is, and you've transferred trust and faith and hope in yourself and placed it upon him, the man on the cross who was resurrected from the grave? Do you know him? You see, we didn't come to play church. We came to profess belief. So I want to invite you this morning to behold the risen Savior, the Son of God. Behold the eternal King and creator of the universe. I invite you to believe in the one who abandoned the throne room of heaven, came to this earth as a baby to become like one of us. Behold the one who befriended sinners and healed lepers. Behold the one who willingly went to the cross to settle our debt. Behold the one who conquered death and rose to life. He offers you forgiveness of sin. He promises you an eternal home in heaven. And what he asks of you is simple: to believe and profess. Believe that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and profess your belief and trust in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, that he lived, that he died, and that he rose again to forgive you and to save your soul for all eternity. Romans chapter 10 captures it perfectly. It says this: if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what?
Saved.
For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Believe and profess. Would you bow your heads with me? And I want to give you just a moment on this sacred day to do business with God. If you know Jesus, take a moment right now to affirm your faith. Confess you're a sinner in need of a Savior, that you believed upon him and you receive his forgiveness and promises. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, maybe this is all new to you, or maybe you've been running from God for a long time and you've come here this morning and you're trying to turn it around. Believe and profess. Confess your sin before a holy God. Confess that you've taken the reins in your life and made your own choices. And ask him to forgive you. And now profess belief. Believe that the man on the cross who rose from the grave can deliver forgiveness and eternity into your heart. Believe and profess. Well, Lord Jesus, we come today to celebrate you as the resurrected Savior who has saved our souls. Lord, you are worthy of all our praises. You're worthy of all of our lives. And we thank you that we do not live in this world without hope. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me as we affirm that truth in song?
across the pages of time, He who made every living thing, behold.
Fellowship family, thank you for spending part of your Easter Sunday with us. If you're visiting or you're new, this is what we do. We really believe all this stuff we've talked about today, that a tomb without Jesus is a really big deal. A risen Savior is something to behold. It's something to celebrate. It's what we do every Sunday of the year right here at 9 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. And we would love to have you join us. Matter of fact, next week we start a new sermon series on the life of Jesus, what he said and what he did. And we're going to be studying through the book of Mark, and we would love to have you join us. These study guides are going to be for sale next week. And you, in this study guide, you can do some self-study. You can take sermon notes. You can also use them for a small group study, which is what we also do. We gather in living rooms and coffee shops and conference rooms all over Northwest Arkansas, where we live like family. If that sounds interesting to you or you have questions, feel free to stop by the booth in the center of the foyer. We would love the opportunity to visit with you. We've got a card we'd love to give you that tells more about our church, and it tells what Sam was talking about earlier, how to have peace with God. And we also have a Bible for you. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you. If something moved in your heart this morning and you want to talk with someone, you want to pray with someone, to my left, your right, is the prayer room. Ed and Guanica Parrish are in there. Ryan Thornton is there. They would love the opportunity to pray with you and process with you. No pressure. Just some visiting and prayer. We'd love to do that. Church, a risen Savior is something to behold. A risen Savior is something to celebrate. Amen? God bless you. Have a great Easter.